If you would open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55, we'll be there in just 1 minute. But I want to invite you Wednesday evenings in the new year, starting in January, Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock, we're going to have classes for all ages. Encourage you to bring your family, your friends to be a part of these classes. Kids will be downstairs, teens will be upstairs, adults will be in here. For the adults, we're going to be walking through this new series, a video series called Chosen. It's just a great way to see, to understand, and to experience life of Christ, the way that he was teaching, the culture that he was interacting with, and to get some deeper insight into what was going on. I think it will be a blessing for you. So that'll be Wednesdays, not this week, but starting next week at 7 p.m. Come and be a part of that. Then on New Year's Eve, I encourage you to come and be a part of just a family time. We are going to open up the family center, push the chairs aside, pull out some tables. You bring some cards or some games, some snacks and some drinks. Let's just enjoy the evening together. We will open things up starting at 8 p.m. and come and just enjoy the evening with us. Around 11:30, we will pause for a short devotional, and then we will cheer in the new year. And if you want to stay after that, knock yourself out. If you're ready to go home and go to bed, then we can do that as well. But I hope that you can find a way to enjoy your family, your friends, or come and be a part of something here on New Year's Eve. Now, let's dive right into this. Perfect. The nature of God is perfect, right? How was your Christmas? Was it perfect? I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the warm weather, but it just doesn't quite feel like Christmas to me. I really like that season of life a few years ago when our kids were a little bit younger and they were just so anxious to wake up. And the morning, you'd get your coffee, you'd sit down, presents would just be ripped into. There would just be this chatter and buzz of life all throughout the house. Kara and I would sit back and just watch these kids enjoying that moment. A little while later, we would sit around the table together and Kara had fixed a wonderful meal for us, and so we were just enjoying talking about our dreams and our hopes, our lives, our future, the past year, the gifts, the presents, all those things. Invariably, somebody would knock over a glass of tea, and we would all laugh and enjoy that special memory or whatever that was happening at that meal. The day would go on. The boys would become a little bit quieter as they settled into their toys or games or activities. I would sit down on the couch near the fireplace. We'd have some Christmas music playing, and every so often the song Silent Night would come on. And as our house got quieter and quieter in the evening, those words just kind of resonated with me. Silent night, holy night. All is calm and all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. I don't know that we ever had a Christmas day that went exactly like that. Did we ever have a perfect Christmas? I don't know. Vince Lombardi says that perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence. Michael J. Fox, actor, he said, "I'm careful not to confuse excellence with perfection. Excellence I can reach for. Perfection is God's business." I remember when I was a young budding actor in kindergarten. My school was putting on a performance. It wasn't a Christmas performance. It was earlier in the year, and my class was going to do the Hokey Pokey. Because I don't want any of you to lust. I won't go through all the motions, but you remember you put your right hand in and you put your right hand out. Right hand in, and then you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey. turn yourself about? Because that's what it's all about. And then we went over and we did the left hand. We put it in, we put it out, we shuck it all about. And then we got ready for not quite the big finale, but it was going to be my big finale because it was my right foot. And my right foot went in, and so did my shoe. About 5-6 rows back. Perfection may not be obtainable for some of us, for all of us. But this morning I want us to dive into this thought of really who God is, His perfect and glorious nature, and how that is so challenging to us in our life. Michelangelo says, "A true work of art is but a shadow of the divine protection." Now, in Isaiah chapter 55, look with me at verse 8. Isaiah chapter 55 says, God's ways are not our ways. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." God is the essence of perfect and holy, righteous and true. And through this year, we've been talking about living by faith and challenging ourselves to see what He is calling us to live in and seeing the very nature of God as approachable, as unchangeable, as perfect and right. It should be drawing and enticing to us. It should be calling our hearts closer to Him. But as I like to say, perfection looks different through God's eyes. Perfection is something that is different as God sees it than as I see it. See, when I think about what perfection really looks like, I want it to be a place where there is no struggle. I want there to be just this continual peace and joy. There's not going to be any failure or mistakes. There's no lagging or nagging memories in our past. It is without fault. It's without shame. It's without blame. It is even without growth. We are at this place of perfection. And I don't know about you, but as I put those up on the board there, is that somewhat of your mindset of what perfection is going to look like? I mean, if I just put it in the simplest of terms of yesterday, that the perfect day is without struggle or without challenge. But yet there's so many things that we must struggle through in order to enjoy a day with our family. I mean, there is the time that we're supposed to get up. If I go back to the younger years, I didn't want to get up at 4 or 5 like the little ones did. This year we had a conversation about when we were going to get up and enjoy our Christmas. And there were some conversations or comments of 10, 11, maybe after lunch would be fine. We had to struggle through that discussion. There's a struggle in the kitchen to prepare a meal that is going to be fit for this holiday that gathers everyone together. There's a struggle of just gathering around the table with a couple of our knucklehead relatives or friends. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, didn't we? The struggle is real. But I want us to see something in the very nature of who God really is. This perfect nature of God challenges the way that we want to live, the way that we think we should be living, so that we are really called to a new, higher, different way of life. You see, God's view of perfection is something significantly different. And He's going to give us this view in some snapshots. And if we aren't paying attention, if we're not really diving into this, we're going to miss, because we're going to grab hold of these words perfection or perfect, this higher calling or this noble vision, and we will miss the context of what God is really calling us into. And we will still try to live in this utopian philosophy of perfection, of without struggle, without trial, without challenges. And we will miss the very perfection that God is calling us to. Yesterday was a beautiful day, but for some it was a challenging day. The memory of lost loved ones. The difficulty of being with loved ones. Maybe yesterday or this season just reminds you of the struggles that you've gone through this last year. But God's view is something different. And I want us to pay attention to what He really is calling us to do. Because number one, He is calling us to be perfect as He is perfect. Be perfect. Paul, last week when we were looking at the passage in Philippians, he writes about this beautiful picture of Jesus, who is this unchangeable Son of God, who comes to this earth and in our view goes through this great transformation of ripping Himself of all that is rightfully His place and His power of being with Christ, in Christ, or with God in heaven. And He comes to this earth and He submits Himself to become a man, to become a child, to live as one of us, even so much that He is a servant. He's put on a cross. He is shamed and neglected and crucified for our sins. But Paul doesn't finish with that sorrowful picture, because God is unchanged, and so Christ is triumphant. He overcomes the grave. He calls all men unto Himself. And at His name, every knee would bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord over all. Jesus, God, is perfect in this way. And we are called to mirror our lives after Him. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And He sets this high bar for us to live into, to understand our new position of life. But it comes right on the heels of a significant passage that is so challenging for us. If you back up in Matthew chapter 5 to verse 43 and 44, there Jesus will say, "You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemy and pray for those who are persecuting you. Therefore, be perfect as your Father is perfect." Put that in context. Jesus is challenging us to be perfect in a situation in which there is no love, there is no relationship, there is no desired outcome for a mutual gain of both of you. There is somebody who is an enemy. There is somebody who's attacking. There is somebody who doesn't have your best interest at mind, and they are at odds with you. And God is saying, be perfect. Love them in that situation. Boy, if I was writing the perfect book, I would scratch that one out real quick. But this is who our God is. And the truth is, I can't accept that kind of love and mercy and grace from our Father, who loved me while I was still a sinner, while I was still an enemy, if I won't strive to let that be a part of my life now. Be perfect and love our enemies. The second one, the nature of God, is His perfect power. that we are given. This power of the Spirit living in us, this is the same Spirit that brought Jesus back up out of the grave. This power, this strength, this purpose in our lives is mighty and powerful. Yet Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul says that God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul says, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me." You think about the perfect nature of God. He is over all things. There is nothing that is going to defeat Him or overcome. His kingdom will reign forever. And if we are to share in that, it's not the physical building up of our bodies. It's not the things that we can do on this earth that will empower us and strengthen us. It is actually something that seems so counterintuitive. When we recognize, when we speak about our weakness, when we give glory to God for helping us in our deficiencies, then He is glorified, then He overcomes, then He brings power, and then we see His righteousness displayed in this earth. God is great in His power. God is great in His love. And He calls us to a perfect unity in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. These passages of love that speak so much to our heart and soul, they inspire us as they draw us into Christ's family. Colossians 3, verse 14 says, "Over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." And you just think about the wholeness, the oneness, the specialness of what God really desires for His family, for His children within His church. This beautiful nature of love and mutual love, brotherly love to one another. And the peace that should transcend all of the arguments and dissensions will just fall away, and there will be unity and peace, and we will coexist and we will love one another. But you just have to back up one verse to recognize that it's not quite that simple. This perfect peace comes when we will forgive one another and bear with one another. Verse 13, Paul even adds, "As the Lord has forgiven you." You want this perfect peace? You want to recognize the perfect nature of God? It means that we have to walk into these situations that require forgiveness, requires bearing with one another. As we were enjoying our day yesterday, I knew one of our neighbors had a big event going on. There were cars out and family had come in. And about halfway through the day, I see him out there trimming his bushes. And I knew that it was difficult in that house. It is challenging to bear with one another sometimes. But you think about the nature of God, who bears with us, who gives this love that draws all mankind to Himself. The last one that I want to point out is that we will be made perfect. There is this beautiful passage in Hebrews chapter 10. Flip over there with me real quick. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 14, we're going to look at that because this gives us an understanding of this idea that He starts off calling us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father, and that feels like a task. That feels like a step far beyond who we really are. We recognize God's nature. We understand who He really is and all the things that He does. Even though we may not like it at the time, we understand that God's ways are higher than our ways, that God's thoughts are so much greater than our thoughts. And so we yield power. We yield control to Him. But the idea that we will be made perfect is a challenge to us. And in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 14, it says, "For by one sacrifice He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this, First, he says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. And I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them in their minds." Then, he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." Amen. The very nature of God, who demonstrates His perfectness in all these things, who calls us to be like Him as we love those who are our enemies. He calls us to be powerful even in our weakness. He calls us to unity even when we don't fit together. He still makes us perfect. And it is a perfection that goes beyond just a momentary blip. It is for all time, because where there has been forgiveness, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Amen. As we worship a Creator, a God who came into our midst to draw our attention and change our way of life, we see that He is approachable, that He doesn't even change. He is steadfast in His purpose and in His planning. We see that He is perfect in all ways. And yet, He still brings us to that level as well. So I want you to evaluate yourself this morning. As we see God, are we being drawn to Him? Are we being repelled from Him? Does His perfection, does His holiness and righteousness stir within your heart something to be made new and made right? As a Christ follower, where is your perfection? Do you love like God? Do you want to forgive like God first forgave us? Do you want to be powerful with God's mighty power? Or do you want to hide and bluff your way through based on your own strength and your own intellect? Does God call you into His way of life, which seems so counterintuitive to all the things that we would do if we were striving for our own vision and purpose of perfection? Are we going to live by faith as God describes it? Or are we going to live by our own purpose and power? I want to call this a new song, but it was actually written in 1984. "Mary, Did You Know?" Almost 40 years ago, for me, it speaks of the perfect nature of God in the form of that infant child, the wonderment and the amazement that Mary must have had as she watched these moments unfold. Listen to these words. I won't hurt your ears by singing, but I want you to hear these words in a different way. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Mary, did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see and the deaf will hear. The dead will live again. The lame will leap. the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. And if you're like me, if you like this song, it is such a powerful vision of who Christ really is. From infant to Messiah, to Redeemer and Overcomer. But this song has these two little lines that we skip right over. We miss so often. Listen to this first verse once more. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? That child that you just delivered is going to deliver you. You put yourself in the context of what that means, that my vision of perfection is not right, that God is going to redeem me and restore me. He's going to grow me into something that is significantly different than who I think I am or who I want to be. The thing that I need in a Savior is the thing that I have to confess, that I'm weak, I'm unable, I need a deliverer. And that's not the perfection that many of us really want. But that is who God really is. So Mary, did you know? Matt, did you know? Put your name right there, because the perfection of God challenges us in our vision of perfection, our understanding, to know that we need to be delivered, to know that we need to be saved, to know that we can approach God, to know that we could hold God closer than an infant, that God wants to live within our own hearts. Did you know that He's perfect? And though His ways often seem backwards or different or opposite or fearful from what we would first think, we've been called to live by faith and to walk as He teaches. By faith, we will live as He desires. By faith, we will not shrink back, but we will rise up to be the men and women that God has called us to be. And by faith, we will be a light in this darkness. As bright as that star once shone, we too get to reflect the perfect light to this dark world. Let's stand together and sing this praise to God. How great is our God!
Lord, take my